Hey, it's Jonas Knox. Winter is coming. Heavy rain, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires up for the challenge? Tread confidently in winter's worst with a set of new tires from Tire Rack. They sell only the best, like the full line of Vredestein tires. Go to TireRack.com/sports. Tell them what you drive. Your tires will ship fast and free to you or one of over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
I think we got to come up with a new nickname for Nikola Jokic. Because Joker just doesn't seem applicable here. Because A, he's not joking. And B, he doesn't strike me as a guy who's cracking jokes all the time. Apparently he's a funny guy behind the scenes, but it is just this sort of ho-hum, just kind of works, just kind of does his thing. And then you look and you go, is he a 30-20-10 tonight? And yes, in fact, he was. 32-21-10 was the stat line for Jokic. I believe he, through the series thus far, is shooting like 62% from the field. LeVar, this guy's an animal. And it's just the most easy-looking 30-20-10 game that I can recall ever seeing in the history of the league. It's amazing,
That's just how he plays. I mean, he makes it look really simple, like he's just in a shoot around. I mean, his movements are very deliberate, but they're just very slow, you know. But he can handle the ball really good. He can shoot from pretty much anywhere. I mean, you don't see him take deep balls too often. You know, he doesn't shoot threes, but anything in and around that rim, and he's going to bang you. I mean, he does shoot threes, and he has made threes, but in and around the basketball, the rim, he's money because he's got great vision. And because he's got such has great vision, he's able to make the passes when the defenses try to converge on him. So it's like been all of these you know, debates on what do you do to try to win against Denver right now? Do you allow Jokic to get his points and make everybody else beat you and different things like that? Listen, Bam Adebayo is having a hell of a series, and he's aggressive against Jokic. He's productive as well on the offensive side of the ball. So on the offensive side of the court, he is playing well. And so I think the idea of how you try to go about playing this team and beating this team is what they did in game two, which is you got to make your mid-range shots. You got to make your deep balls. And you can't keep it even or even be up by a little bit when you go into halftime. You've got to have a significant lead. Like, I'm talking close to double digit lead going into halftime, so that when you come out of halftime, you got an opportunity to withstand some of what's going to take place with Denver. I think that's kind of what it is, in my estimation. they're gonna have to play some really, really extraordinary basketball to be able to win this series. I mean, I said that coming into it, Jonas, but I think it proved true last night. Because I don't want to say it looked too easy for them to get it, because Miami is they are competitive, and probably more competitive than I was giving them credit for coming into the series. But it did look like they were dominating Miami.
Yeah.
Butler
didn't – I mean, look, his stat line was okay. He had his 28 points, but it wasn't like he impacted the game like he did against Boston, like he did against New York, like he definitely did against Milwaukee. It's just – I mean, I look at it and I go, all right, well, the Heat already won because they're not going to get swept. So there, at least there's that. So they came back and they won game two. But this one was just sort of this – once you got to the second half, I think their lead was 5 going into halftime was Denver. Yeah. Once you got to the second half, that third quarter they opened it up, and that was pretty much a wrap.
And it was quick too.
Yeah, it was like –
they opened it up on them pretty quick. Like they climbed to a double-digit lead pretty quickly. Like it was just – they was on them. As soon as they came out.
Like if you were at a bar and you forgot to take a leak at halftime – and then you thought, oh, damn, well, I'm going to go now early in the third quarter, get this over with, and then I'll come back. You wash your hands, you get done. Hopefully you wash your hands. You come out, and you sit down, and you go, what happened?
Yeah.
It just, like, there they are with an extended lead, and they're getting production from other guys. Jamal Murray was fantastic.
Well, that's the storyline. They said it. That's the storyline that gets lost because of the way Nikola's playing, but Murray is probably the singular biggest reason why the league climbs up to and balloons up as quickly as it does, because he can pull up from anywhere. First off, like he will bang a point out from anywhere on the court. Like yep. he's a pretty strong shooter.
He's a but regular he, Zion Williamson, isn't he?
Oof. Hey, man, you know, he's kind of a little bit like my hero now, man. Like, I used to want to talk bad about him, but, you know, after what y'all sent me yesterday, I'm kind of a fan. I'm a fan.
We'll probably touch on that at some point. Will later we? On.
We're going to touch it?
Well, yeah, I believe that may be featured.
A whole lot to touch.
That may be featured in Would You Rather at Hour 2.
That is a whole lot to touch. But
is it okay to touch him again?
Yeah.
Thank you, Rex.
But I will say Jamal Murray, he creates pace. I was thinking Caldwell Pope would be the guy that would create the pace. But Caldwell Pope also gave some interesting commentary to Lisa Salters after, I believe, the first quarter or maybe the second quarter. It was the first quarter, I believe, where he just said, we just can't let Miami come out the gate on us. Like, they can't get out on us quick. Yeah. We got to stay in the game early on. And I think that's the most telling piece of information that has come from that series, is that as long as Denver can keep it close early on with Miami, as they move down the end of the game, I think they feel confident that they can actually overtake them. With the minutes that they're playing their big-time players, I think they feel like with their conditioning, with their size and their length and their strength, that they can take over the game later on in the game. And it looked as though that strategy kind of worked last night.
Well, Mike Malone, the head coach of the Denver Nuggets, spoke afterwards about just sort of his thoughts at this point in watching Jokic put on another classic performance here in Game 3 of the NBA Finals.
Nothing he does surprises me ever. This guy has shown time and time again that he's built for these moments. He thrives in these moments, the biggest stage, and he did that once again tonight.
So when it comes to the triple-double stuff, and Eddie Garcia mentioned this in his update, that Jokic and Jamal Murray triple-doubles last night, it's the first time in the NBA where two players on the same team recorded a triple-double in the same game. So we've never seen it before. It's historic. And we've talked about in years past these triple-double monsters that are out there. And Russell Westbrook, and we've mentioned this before, was one of those guys that you looked at, was always seemingly getting a triple-double every game. But it just felt different than when you watch Jokic get his. It feels different because Westbrook, it wouldn't be surprising if they would, you know, he would come up with a triple double and it would be like, all right, yeah, that's awesome, but they still lost the game.
Lost,
it just
yeah.
it just felt a little empty. With Jokic, it's not like he's picking up some meaningless assists where, you know, he finds a guy who hits a three from the corner. Like, the offense really does revolve around him. He'll get the ball at the top of the key. They'll set a screen, and then he dictates where it goes. Like, there was a point where Brown cut to the basket, and just his vision to find him, Aaron Gordon, his vision. Like, him and Gordon have this connection where they know where to be, where to go. And when you watch the way he plays, I just wonder, we've talked about the Steph Curry element, to where Steph Curry gave guys who were, you know, 6'3 and under, who maybe didn't want to go inside, hope, because if you get your shot good enough, next thing you know, maybe you've got a chance in this league and a chance to be a productive basketball player. I wonder, are we going to see an explosion in popularity of a guy like Jokic, who's a big man, who, yes, you know, if he wants to hit an outside shot, he can, but it's his passing that really sets everything else up, because the way he's working his triple-double into these games as opposed to Westbrook and some of these other guys have in the past, completely different. It just feels different. It looks different. And I just wonder if it's going to change the game moving forward. Because
it looks
fantastic.
Sustainable, too. Yeah. You know, playing at that pace and that speed, you'd assume that he could do that for a really, really long time. Like, we could see him be in his 60s and still be out there.
Yeah.
You know, playing that game, because it's probably going to be the same speed, and it'll translate. But I doubt he'll make it to a 60s playing.
Pretty cool, though.
You will see probably people, probably franchises copycatting, trying to find that next Nikola Jokic. I think that's pretty fair to think that, you know, being a copycat league, they want to try to bring in guys that they feel are the most effective type of players. And although they may not have the same exact characteristics as a Nikola, I think that franchises see the value in what a guy like that brings to the table. And then now you add those things, those elements, to your scouting report, because I mean, they talked about his scouting grade and his report coming out or coming into the draft, and it wasn't very flattering. You know, it was almost like how Tom Brady was, right?
Yeah,
like just the way they evaluated him, they basically evaluated him as a pretty I'll say average prospect, you know. And so, but when you look at the way his basketball IQ plays out on the court, and his acumen to be able to know when to pass, know when to shoot, create that spacing and the opportunities for the other guys, and make no mistake about it, I like this quote that came out of the game yesterday. They said that we're not a team of one guy, but we're a team that knows who our guy is.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty cool quote. Because that's why you have the relationship between a Jokic and a Gordon, or a Murray and a Gordon. Like, when you looked at, you know, Westbrook, what did you feel when he was out there with KD and James Harden?
He
wants to be the guy.
Yeah.
You know, and now you got a team of, well, who's the guy? Is it Harden? Is it KD? Is it Russ? Russ seems to be the more dominant personality. They defer to Russ, but maybe they shouldn't have. And, you know, and you see that fall short. They kept falling short. But here, I think they understand the balance of it all, including Jokic. He understands the balance of it all. And they play off of each other fairly well. If they're able to keep that team together, it's a pretty dangerous team to deal with, man. They could go on. A healthy Denver Nuggets could go on a little bit of a run if they're able to hold that together. But anyway, they got to get out of this series. But they're playing. They looked really good last night. They played good, strong defense, and they spread the ball around. Guys were scoring. Porter Jr., he still hasn't really gotten really into the series offensively. Neither has Pope, and I think that might be on par for this series, I guess. But if they were to catch on fire,
Oh, it'll be a wipeout.
It might get ugly.
Yeah.
It might get ugly.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. You've put it off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Kumho tires. Shipped fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. It doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/sports to see their Kumho test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Albert Breer is a senior NFL reporter at the MMQB, and you can get him on Twitter at Albert Breer, and he is a tradition every single Thursday here on the show. AB, what's happening? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, sir.
All right, so I got to ask you, because I saw this in your Tuesday notes on SI.com, that there could be some more people getting popped for gambling in the NFL.
Yeah.
I know, obviously, Isaiah Rodgers. What can you tell us? How much worse is this going to get for the league here?
Well, they're investigating a lot of guys, and I think there's some pushback now in that I feel like there's players who've been popped who feel like the league and the teams weren't clear enough about what the rules were. And the fact that a lot of this wasn't negotiated with the union, I think, is also an issue. So there's a lot of, like, backroom dealing going on right now, I'd say. What winds up happening, we'll see. And I think there's, like, a fair discussion to be had here. I mean, look, like, no one thinks what I say Rodgers did is okay, right? Like, NFL players cannot gamble on NFL games for very obvious reasons. And I wouldn't even say the league is being hypocritical when it comes to that specifically, because that, you know, would call into question the integrity of any game, and, you know, any sports league can't have that. But when you're talking about, you know, gambling on the Kentucky Derby or gambling on a college basketball game, and, like, you can do it, like, from, like, the minute you leave the parking lot, but you can't do it from the locker room, I think there are fair questions to ask about that, especially when the league's taking money from Caesars and from DraftKings and from FanDuel and everybody else. And so, yes, there are a sizable number of players that are under investigation right now. I'll be interested to see where it goes next, because I think there is some question about how this was all negotiated and then, you know, how clearly the rules were communicated to the players.
I'm going to switch gears and ask you about the Commanders, and in particular, more specifically, one of your probably, I guess, somebody you're a fan of, in Chase Young. You said he looked pretty good in many camps. Can you give us an update on us? Because Jonas was basically calling him a Jadeveon Clowney. And listen, Jadeveon was able to make, I think, at least one or two Pro Bowls. Do you think right. that Chase Young can kind of get back to that type of form where he could actually be a Pro Bowl caliber player again?
I think the name, bringing up Clowney's name, isn't unfair, just because, I mean, if you guys remember, Devin Clowney, you know, really had a serious knee injury in his first game as a pro and underwent microfracture surgery, and it doesn't get more serious than that, you know, for a player. And so, like, Clowney came back from that, but I think there was always this feeling that, you know, maybe the reason he was never able to reach the high-end potential that initially made him the first pick in the draft all the way back in 2014 was because of the knee injury. And so, you know, I think that's where the comparison is fair, in that Chase Young's ACL tear in 2021 wasn't just an ACL tear. It was a multi-ligament tear. It was a devastating knee injury. And, you know, I know, like, one of the big reasons Washington didn't pick up the option back in May was because when he came back from the injury last year, he didn't look like anything close to himself. It was ugly in practice. They were questioning whether or not they should just shut him down for the rest of the year. And when he got back, you know, into games and he had very limited action, he just, you know, like it's fair to look at it and say, like, we're, you know, over a year out now, where is this going to go from here? And, you know, now I think the, you know, like, with the option turned down, with the option having been turned down, and, you know, I think the Commanders were open to talking about a trade on him before the draft. They wanted to wait and see what he looks like on the field, and now they've actually seen him out on the field. They feel a lot better about it. So It doesn't mean he's going to get back to the form he achieved as a rookie when he was the defensive rookie of the year. But some good signs there, and I'd say now it's highly unlikely they'll trade him because of what they've been able to see at minicamp this week. He looks a lot better.
Albert, can I throw a kind of a peek into the future? I don't want to say conspiracy theory because I don't think it's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
But how crazy you think this thought is, that speaking of the Commanders, the Washington Commanders are picking number one overall in the draft next year.
Yep.
They're taking Caleb Williams, who's from the area.
Yep.
And they're bringing Lincoln Riley with them.
That sounds like a lot of fun, right?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if they're picking number one overall in the draft, I would assume Ron Rivera is not the coach next year. Well, I think he's kind of alluded to that as well, too.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, and you know, it's funny when people bring that up. It's like, are the Commanders tanking? It's like, Ron Rivera and Martin Mayhew and Marty Herney cannot afford to tank.
No.
Because if they tank, there's a new owner coming in, and if they, I would say if they don't make the playoffs, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
If they're the worst team in the league, I mean, they're gone before the season's over, you know? So, I mean, look, like, we know the way this goes, and Josh Harris is going to be approved at the end of July, beginning of August, and he's going to come in and he's going to say all the right things about giving these guys a fair shot to prove themselves and all the rest of it. You guys know the score as well as I do. Every new owner wants to bring in his new people, and he's looking for an excuse to bring in his new people, his own people. And we saw what happened in Denver, right? Nate Hackett had 1 year to prove himself, even though it was the first year they hired him as a young head coach. And no, it didn't go well. But in a lot of circumstances like that one, you'll see a guy like that get a second chance. And Nathaniel Hackett didn't get a second chance because, you know, he wasn't hired by the new owners. And so the new owners come in, and they take a huge swing and go and hire Sean Payton. And it certainly stands to reason that that could happen here too, where, you know, new ownership comes in and they want to kind of change the feel in the organization and sort of put their stamp on it right away and take a big swing like that. And so, you know, I don't know what the Sean Payton type of swing would be for Josh Harris, but I think trying to get Lincoln Riley out of USC would certainly be in that category as far as big swings go.
Wow. I still don't understand. Can you explain? I had another question, but I would love to hear your reasoning on tanking a season. How is it possible for an NFL team to be able to tank a season? Like, how does that even work?
Yeah, well, so here's what I think is going to happen this year, LeVar, because I think tanking because of Caleb Williams' presence in the draft class, because of Drake May's presence in the draft class, tanking is going to be a big subject when we get to October and November and December with teams that are at the bottom of the league, right? And I think if you look at the teams now that would be in that running, it's a lot of teams that either A, have a first-year head coach, or B, have a coach who's at the end of the road, right? So in both those cases, it'd be hard for either coach in that sort of situation to engineer a tanking plan, because if you're the coach at the end of the road, then you know losing is going to mean you get fired. And you won't be the one making that pick anyway. And if you're a first-year coach, you have to establish something, and it can be pretty fatal to your ability to succeed if that's the first impression players are getting of you. So I don't think it happens in September and October. However, what happens when we get to the trade deadline, and what happens when owners or a general manager gets googly eyes over the idea of I could wind up with Caleb Williams or Drake May? You know, what happens then? And I think what could happen is we could see with maybe 4, 5, 6 teams at the bottom of the league as active a fire sale as we've ever seen before, where teams are unloading players and trying to get draft capital and looking at it and saying, let's find a way to manage our roster creatively so we're in position to get the first pick. And then we have all these draft picks on top of the first pick to build around that young quarterback. That's where I think it could happen. And if you're doing that before the trade deadline, then what are you doing down the stretch? You're probably engineering things to get the first pick. So that doesn't mean you're telling players in your locker room, go over there and lay down. You know what I mean? You're not saying that. But if you have a star player who has an injury, maybe you shut him down for the year. So I think that's the sort of stuff that's going to be on our radar when we get to October, November, December, because you've got not one but two quarterbacks in this year's class that I think could be the first pick in any year's class.
Get him on Twitter at Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter at the MMQB, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. So I wanted to ask you, at this point in OTAs, have you heard from anybody that you've talked to around the league about a player or two, and it doesn't have to be a rookie, it could be somebody entering a big year that's really stood out, that's made, you know, obvious improvements, even just in OTAs thus far as we get set for training camp coming up next month?
You know, the one team, and I wrote about them this week, so it's just kind of like front of mind for me. I know Seattle is very excited about where they are. And, you know, it's Geno Smith sort of setting the tone and really, like, pushing to build on what was a breakthrough year for him last year, obviously. But it's the group of second-year players, too, there. You know, so it's Kenneth Walker, it's Charles Cross, it's Abe Lucas, it's, you know, Kobe Bryant, Tariq Woolen at corner. You know, Seattle's like this team that's, like, you know, kind of, I would say, flying under the radar right now, where you're starting to get the vibes you got, like, you know, 12, 13 years ago when Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman and all those young guys were sort of building the program in Seattle. And so, like, I think that, like, if you're asking about a team that, like, looks like it's, like, positioning itself to take a big step forward because of a group of players, I'd say it's that one. And I'd say it's because of the quarterback. And I'd say it's because of that young second-year group. And then they've got the rookie class coming up behind them, you know, and obviously going and getting Devin Witherspoon and Jackson Smith and Jigba. Seattle just kind of strikes me as this team where, you know, we could be looking at 3 or 4 second-year players who grow from really good rookies into Pro Bowlers or all pros. And now all of a sudden Seattle's set up to win for the next few years the same way they were when again, like the Earl Thomases, the Cam Chancellors, the Richard Shermans came of age there 12 or 13 years ago.
AB, talk to me about what's going on, the latest in Arizona. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins was released and is still looking for work. I find that to be a tad bit curious because there are a few teams out there, especially the one he just visited in Tennessee, that is in need of a big-time receiver. But what's the latest on what's going on in Arizona? Because it seems as though they are tallying up the type of reputation where they may be the most talked about team in the National Football League this year.
Yeah, well, it's been a bizarre offseason for sure, right? Like, I mean, from, you know, the allegations against Michael Bidwell that were, you know, that were levied by Terry McDonough, the former, you know, vice president of player personnel, to the NFLPA stuff, which was just, I mean, comical. I don't know, LeVar, were you ever charged for a meal if you stay late at the facility?
Well, they said they were charged. They said they were charging for meals at in Washington for cups of coffee too. So I don't, you know, I won't get too carried away on that one.
Wait a second, they were charging for cups of coffee in Washington?
Didn't you see the dig that Mike McDaniel made on Washington, where he said if he'd have known something or another, you know, because he was paying for his cups of coffee. there was something Mike McDaniel said. He took a dig, but apparently, I guess you were paying for your cups of coffee at one point.
They got like a coin-op like Keurig in there or something?
I wouldn't put that past that man.
And by the way, you know it's one of those devices where it's not a dollar, it's $1.25 to really make it a pain in the ass.
It would have been a quarter dip. It would have been a tap. You would have been able to tap your credit card, you know?
Between the tampering thing and the NFLPA thing and, you know, obviously, the Terry McDonough thing with the owner, it's been a weird off season there. And, you know, look, like, I think what Monty Ossenfort and Jonathan Gannon, who I think are two real solid hires, you know, through their actions over the last couple months and the way that they've sort of structured things, it really looks like this is going to be a big transition year. And, you know, you look at like where their draft capital is gone, where they're pushing picks into next year, and how young their staff is, and how they've, you know, had to move on from some older veterans. And look, like, I think that they're doing all the right. They're doing what they need to do. You know what I mean? Like, they're doing, I think, what anybody would do in that position where you got really, really old. You know, like J.J. Watt, Rodney Hudson, A.J. Green, like, they were old. And somebody needs to come in and hit the reset button. And so they're not going to be very good this year, you know. So throw another log in the fire, and they're going to have to ride this year out. You know, maybe a year from now we're talking about them being the team that wound up with Caleb Williams and Kyler Murray being somewhere else. It's, I would say, not going to be the winningest year in Arizona, but I think it's going to be a really, really interesting year just because of all those different subplots going on.
Get him on Twitter at Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter at the MMQB. Always kind enough to join us on a Thursday. AB, always great stuff, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, next week we need stories from LeVar on that like $7 cheeseburger he had to buy in Washington at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday night.
Oh, please. He's got plenty of those, I'm sure. That'll be fun.
I don't even know that they served food there. I think maybe at the end they started serving food. We had to order our lunch.
It was a cup of noodles and stuff like that you had to pay for.
They got a DoorDash lunch there.
Albert, have a good rest of your Thursday. We'll do it again next week, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. You've put it off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Bridgestone tires. Shipped fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. It doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/sports to see their Bridgestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the big story, while the NBA was trying to figure out how much longer it wanted to take in between games before it tipped off Game 3, was the LIV and PGA Union. The LIV Tour and the PGA Tour are now one. And there was a lot of people who we had not heard from, a lot of people who hadn't spoken out yet. We had heard rumblings about a players meeting on the PGA Tour in which they laid into Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner. And you heard it from some of the LIV golfers who were on social media taking some victory laps and kind of letting everybody know we were right the entire time and you were wrong and et cetera, et cetera. And Jay Monahan talked about him being a hypocrite. Like, we broke it all down. A deep dive yesterday on PGA and LIV and their relationship. And then Rory McIlroy decided to step right up. And he decided to talk about his involvement. There was a report out there, some rumblings that the LIV Tour at one point maybe offered Rory McIlroy $500 million to join the tour. There were some rumblings that Tiger Woods was offered like $700-800 million to join the tour, but they showed support. They showed loyalty for the PGA Tour, only to find out we're all shopping in the same store together now. And so here was Rory McIlroy yesterday talking about the situation.
I know you and many other golfers were offered substantial amounts of money to join LIV.
I was never offered any money.
My apologies. Should the golfers who maybe stayed loyal and turned down LIV, should they be made whole financially?
I mean, the simple answer is yes. The complex answer is, how does that happen? Mm-hmm. Right? And that's all gray area and up in the air at the minute. But yeah, there's, you know, it's hard for me to not sit up here and feel somewhat like a sacrificial lamb, and, you know, feeling like I've put myself out there and this is what happens. Again, removing myself from the situation, I see how this is better for the game of golf. There's no denying that. But for me as an individual, yeah, there's just going to have to be conversations that are had.
I'm just trying to get this straight.
You ain't getting that money back, player. You should have took the ridicule. You should have took the road less traveled. You should have took a chance and believed in yourself. You was watching them cats on that private jet. You was getting jealous. Yeah, you were a sacrificial lamb, my guy. You know why? Because you didn't take the money.
My favorite part about all this.
We should be made whole. Right. No, you shouldn't.
My favorite part about all this is he was very quick to point out, I was never offered any money.
Yeah,
and then right. When it came to the end of the quote, it was like, yeah, I think we should be compensated for something. It's like, okay. So you taking the stance that you took, was it for moral purposes? Was it because you were outraged by the quote-unquote blood money that was part of the LIV tour? Or were you just assuming that you were in the right lane, they were all in the wrong one, and you guys were never going to merge into traffic together, and now you look like an a-hole, and you don't have any of the money that those guys made on top of all that? That's what it feels like to me. That's why he's bitter.
It just sounds a little disingenuous. Like to say, yes, if you were offered money, you should be made whole after something like this. Like,
right.
No. No. That's like the scenario you were giving out about Tiger Woods. Like, if I get this deal done here, but it happens after, like, if my deal happened after, I don't owe you anything. But if it happened during, then I owe you. The bottom line is that you didn't make a move. You made a decision. The PGA Tour didn't keep y'all from making that decision. They might have told y'all what, advised you what not to do and what to do. Or you might have had a whole lot of people sitting there telling you this is career suicide. And all those guys like Brooks Koepka and all of them who are taking the money, this is career suicide for them. You chose to play it safe. Ain't no PGA need to pay, make you whole. That's less money. That's less money that whoever that public fund is and that from the Saudis that's funding this. That's less money they had to pay to get to where it is that they wanted. And which, by the way, it made me start thinking. What if they started? What if this public fund wanted to do this? Would say. Pro football.
Yeah.
What's to say that now this hasn't set a new precedence for how to infiltrate American sports,
yeah.
American athletics.
Yeah, I brought it up yesterday. WWE's been going over there for a few years now. They got a lot of the heat that a lot of the LIV golfers got, and they keep going over. And in fact, they're going over more now because of how much money's brought in. Like, if you're willing to take the backlash initially, the amount of revenue and the amount of cash that they're willing to offer in situations like this, I mean, that, like, this type of money, like the NFL. Is rich and flush with cash. They're not this flush with cash. Like the Saudis, like that's a level of income and a level of money that even Jay Monahan's like, look, yes, I'm a hypocrite, but damn, that's a lot of cash. Like this, I was thinking about that as well too. I wonder, could this potentially be a threat to, you know, some other establishments as far as leagues go, when it comes to, you know, football or basketball or whatever, if this could be the start of what else could happen here? I do wonder.
Well, I think that's a very interesting proposition. I would be curious to hear what Q would have to say on this because, you know, he always brings the numbers and the evidence and, you know, he breaks out his copious notes of all things like this. But I would say, I would wonder what would be, like, think about it. You're talking about a public fund in a place where that money is the longest money I've heard of outside of a few situations in Africa. But I've heard that money is super, super, super long. Like, guaranteed contracts? Why not guaranteed contracts? Oh, Deshaun Watson, you guys, oh, I can bring over the you know, Trevor Lawrence's, the Justin Herbert's, the Tariq Hill's. I can get, you know, Aaron Rodgers. What?
Yeah.
I can bring these players over. All I have to do is give them guaranteed contracts. Look at the money that they're generating in the NFL. Let's infiltrate them. Let's start our own league. Let's start giving the best players that they have, like, a guaranteed amount on their contracts, and let's start football teams. We can plug in the rest of these guys. there's enough football players running around where you can plug in the rest of these guys. These are going to be the ones that are selling tickets and making this thing go. Like, let's do it. Who's to say that that isn't what could happen next?
Yeah, and just the whole Rory McIlroy and his just crying about, you know, I was never offered anything, and it's blood money, and he just it's disgraceful what they've done. But, I mean, since we're here, I'll take some of it as a make good. You know, I'll take some of your money as a make good. Okay, so it's blood money then, but now it's make good money. Okay, I want to make sure that we've got this clear. It just, the whole thing's hilarious, man. Just to see how many of these guys are so bitter and just still are holding on to that. Well, it needs to make it right for us. It's like, you ever had like a piece of hair, you find a piece of hair in your food at a restaurant? You ever had that happen? Or like, you know, a fingernail
Something gross in your drink. I've seen particles in my drink.
Oh,
That's really like, that's a real big turn off.
It's like, if I saw something in my food, the last thing I want is the same meal that I just ordered that had like a piece of hair or a fingernail in my food. It's like when they come back to the table and say, oh, we'll remake it for you. Yeah, I don't want you to remake it. Like, I don't want to get that. You know, I'll get something else.
Because they ain't remaking it. They just pulled that nail out and let it sit under the heater for a minute and then put it back out there.
It's like
run it back out.
It's like Roy McIlroy saying, no, take this food back. But they bring out the exact same one, and he says, okay, I guess now I'll take it. All right, now I'll take it. You know, as long as you know, part of it's comped, I guess now I'll take it. Just the whole thing is comedy,
it's
man.
It's just you played it safe. You played it safe when others didn't, and no, you shouldn't be compensated for playing it safe. You shouldn't. Bottom line is you shouldn't. And it's so crazy because now you expose yourself for being a hypocrite.
Yep. Totally agree.
Just by sitting there saying that, like, okay. So it wasn't really about being true Americans and patriotism and all these things. It was about, like, you trying to preserve yourself, self-preservation. And on the other side of this, when this crumbles in people's faces, the live tour that is, then we're the ones that look like good patriots. We did it the right way. We're the good soldiers. Yeah, well, what happens when the team you're a part of, the soldier team, the soldier group you're a part of, sells out to the enemy? Like, you thought you won the war, but you had only won a battle. The war was still being waged, and clearly whoever chose live and took those big ass bags of money, they won the war in the end. And they're probably going to be taken care of, and they're probably going to be reverenced by the people that did the deals with them early on, because you don't get this deal done unless the golfers that joined not only joined but played well. Played well in the PGA.
And I would love to know how many of the golfers that joined the LIV Tour, I would love to know how many of them joined just for the money, or how many of them joined, yes, because of the money, but also because, hey, dude, we're going to end up in the same spot anyways. So why not take the money? Like, yeah, we got to wear it for a couple of years, but eventually we're all going to be in the same spot. And the PGA Tour, with all its flaws, can't just continue to say no to this type of cash, knowing what it could do to the entire sport and everybody involved in it. I wonder how many of them said, this is our opportunity to make, on top of what we're going to make when we finally join forces together, this is what our opportunity to make an extra $100 million. Knowing what was down the road, because I get the feeling guys like Phil Mickelson, Greg Norman has been all about this for years now. You mentioned Donald Trump, who predicted this, what was it, a couple of years ago or last year?
Like
saying,
last year he predicted
like
the merger.
Take the money, it's going to happen eventually. I wonder how many people also had the same thought, and that's part of the reason why they did this, because they said, we'll take the blowback for 2 years, but that $100 million you can't get back. And the way we go with the LIV and PGA relationship that moves forward, it's pretty funny to watch. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, or not Brady Quinn. That was a Freudian slip there.
He is a part of this show.
Yeah, that's true.
He's just not in right now.
Yeah, he's not here. Yeah. But LeVar Arrington and Jonas Knox are here. That's what I know.
I'm done.
Yes. Yes, he is. Not for good, everybody. Relax.
People still want to know what happened to Berto, too. They said, what happened to Berto and Brady?
though.
Yeah.
Good package deal.
It's a little different, you know.
Yeah, it's a package deal.
Is everything okay with Brady?
You find this man.
We can't.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.